Hello, Audio Boo. It's Claire Vando, and I've hijacked Paul's Audio Boo account.
Yay.
Right. Discussion.
Shaving off my beard.
Shaving off your beard.
Which is not really relevant to the conversation.
It's not.
Necessarily.
No. But it may account for some of the silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this sort of noise.
We're having a discussion.
A contentious
discussion.
Oh, not between us.
No. No, not between us contentious, but it is
it's contentious.
Well, no, actually it's
what it's about, and then people can decide okay. If they want to listen.
Yes. Okay. I just read an article off of Twitter from the Guardian about opposition from the Muslim Council and various other Muslim groups to the appearance of radical Muslim Anjan Chowdhury on BBC Radio 4's Today programme.
It's on Audio Boo.
In
the Today channel on Radio 4 if you want to go hear it.
Yeah.
And there's Lord someone who responds in another interview as to the views of this radical man.
And he's a bit of a...
So, but I only say that because the BBC... it's going to come on to your point, because the BBC, in my opinion, have got the balance right, but the article... seeks to discredit the BBC for talking to his man.
It's a very difficult one. You only have to listen to about 30 seconds.
Exactly.
The views expressed here are those of mine and Paul's, and not of that of the of anyone else. But you only have to listen to the man for about 30 seconds to know that his views are, shall we say, radical in the extreme. When he was asked whether or not he could condone the murder of Lee Rigby, he basically said he basically said, I can't be held responsible for the views of one person. And actually one person being axed down in the street
doesn't equate to the
bigger picture and the wars waged on Muslims abroad. So he is radical. And I think there are two, in my view, there are two issues, I think.
Our first issue was that we had an issue. We started discussing it because I said you were sort of agreeing that the BBC
Shouldn't be giving airtime to these
guy airtime. I think they gave airtime to show what a plonker he was.
I think
they also gave airtime to him because they give airtime to other people and try to get a balanced view. They also the ones that if you ever want to get brilliant documentaries and factual, investigative, good quality investigative journalism. You go to the BBC podcast, I think it's /podcast, and look for something like the documentary archives that the BBC World Service put out. Are some outstanding pieces of work, and I worry, this is my premise, wasn't it? I worry that again, the BBC are being targeted because someone's taking their headline piece of work and taking it out of context when I'm looking at their channel, just on one channel alone, and there are two views that to me balance, and you can easily make up your own mind that the bloke is a plonker. But then we were talking about the whole thing about how cohesive can we be and all this, weren't we? But you carry on for a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's a two-way street, really. On one hand, I can see that these people need to be given airtime so that we can see them for what they are.
Yeah.
Kind of, it's like Nick Griffin. I can't stand the bloke, you know, for example. And you know, when I listen to the likes of him on television and on the radio, actually he shows himself up to be an idiot as well.
and let's face it, when people like him get a public platform once or twice in their lives, they go bonkers. They completely F it up because they flip it up, mess it up, whatever. They can't help themselves. They come out for what they are. Cause it's my big chance, my little day of fame. And they do out themselves. They're pathetic, to be honest. And in a way, like that Lord said, nowhere else in the world would that child have been given that airtime.
No.
But that's a good thing. I think it's better that we know what these worms are actually saying, because you can't not condemn what happened on the street there. You can then have the conversation about the atrocities that clearly are and have gone on in the countries in the name of democracy and things like that.
Our democracy, not other people's.
Yeah. You can talk about that, because in the boot from the other foot, you know, it time before people like Iran can come over and invade us. You just don't know. So yes, your foreign policy does have effects. So, you know, this is what he's saying partly. But not to condemn the blatant murder of someone in the street. And unfortunately, involving people that on one of the defendants at the very least has... He couldn't even stand trial because his mental illness was so severe.
Well, he did stand trial, didn't he? But he didn't offer any evidence.
Did he?
Yeah, he did stand trial. He was deemed fit for trial, but he had had a mental breakdown. He had lots of mental health problems. Yeah. He had a relapse during his remand. And his lawyers basically just said, yeah, whatever, what the other bloke said.
Yeah.
Basically, that was his defence.
They couldn't even defend
now, him. I have really, really serious... And I'm...
Read that. What's that article called?
A Journey to Violence,
it's called.
Yeah.
I put it on Facebook, if you want to go and find it on VR Podcasting on Facebook. It's worth rooting around to get a holistic view of these things.
But I read that, and I'll come back to the platforming of these radical types in a second, because I do have a further point to make on that. I actually read that article and parts of it actually made me quite uncomfortable, because on the one hand we're like, yeah, you know what, these people are brutal, murdering scum, basically. Now, for want of a better word, it's very difficult to describe anyone who can hatchet someone to death. In broad daylight, in public, basically, as anything other than, you know, the scum of the earth.
They'd apologise to children and then parents passing by and say, sorry, they had to see you. But it's happening in other countries, so it's okay.
Well, yeah. So, there is that element to it.
Mm.
But on the other hand, there were two of them, and the one obviously had, knew exactly what he was doing. The other one, very, very clearly, if you read the article, the younger one, Michael, I can't remember his surname. I apologize. No, that was the first, yeah, I think it was something like that. So the younger of the two, because they were both called Michael.
Yeah.
But the younger one of the two clearly, clearly had a very, very troubled upbringing. He clearly had mental health problems. He had paranoid delusions and... I don't know if he's been diagnosed with them specifically. They were known to MI5. Yeah.
And one of the spokespeople in the article said that they were absolutely, they use a professional term, I think. It wasn't gobsmacked, but it was all outraged. They were beside themselves that these people hadn't had a visit from the security services.
No, but I think the kind of issue, the bit that made me uncomfortable was, but the second one, as much as I would like to turn around and go, and I'm a very, usually very reticent to talk back anything in the name of mental illness or, but the second one so blatantly had issues that you wonder how responsible someone like that is for their actions in the same way. Do you know? And
yeah, I do. It's very unfortunate. They're the worst kind of trials, aren't they? When someone gets killed because of someone at the hands of someone who's mentally ill, and they really cannot be tried because their illness is so bad that they can't be tried in any real sense, and there's no justice able to be had, because you know, had that person not had the mental illness and stuff, it probably wouldn't have happened. And it's just awful.
No,
it's
awful. I mean, the thing is he's been tried. He will be sentenced in January. And you're torn on a killing like that in terms of, do you dare, as the Crown Prosecution, not put someone like that on trial? There would be outrage.
Yeah.
Even if he legitimately is not fit to stand trial. So... As much, and I do absolutely condone the brutal murder of anyone. There's no question. Okay, so I'm not sympathising with a murderer here, just in case anybody, you know, feels...
No, people have got common sense, and if they haven't, then it's up to them.
But yeah.
You cannot take what we've said so far in any other way than what we mean it. So it's not... that's fact.
But coming back to what I was saying earlier about putting radical people like... what's his name? Whose name has escaped me, of Chowdhury. I mean, he's a ghastly individual. Sorry, but you've only got to listen to him, and he's just like, he's like a worm. He worms his way out of every question.
I have to say, I'll be very tempted to as soon as he leaves the Today studios, if I was, you know, the police, and just say, right, mate, that's great, you're going home.
That's like incitement, isn't it? Well, he's not, he's British, isn't
where's,
he?
Where's home then, mate? Where do you want to go? You ain't staying in Britain, so choose.
Oh, yeah.
But I was covering it because he made me so angry.
Yeah.
You were going to say something else. I think we try to be the broadest in our acceptance of people as possible. And he did talk about that. He did talk about trying to, you know, live peaceably with people. But it seems to me that he doesn't. He wants his version of the British state, which is leaning very much, because he said, didn't he, that there's no country in the world that has 100% Sharia law. And that's what he wants. And when he goes there,
and he fights peacefully for it.
Yeah, and sure he does. And actually, the extremes of Sharia law that I think he's talking about, I mean, if it's in a place like Afghanistan, particularly when the Taliban were in control, was medieval. I mean, barbaric in every sense of the world. I mean, they've cut down people in front of all sorts, haven't they, in public? There's a Christian aid worker, wasn't it, that got shot down fairly in the last couple of years, wasn't it? So, I don't know. I'm not overly clear on what he wants, but if that's anything towards it. And it is extreme.
But if I was a Muslim, which I'm not, but if I was... All right, if I was of any kind of persuasion that is fairly heavily in the public eye in a negative sense, then...
I wanted to convince people
of my point of view. Then I think I would agree. If I was a peace loving member of my belief system or organization, because I'm not necessarily just talking about religion, but if I was a everyday kind of person, and they had these radical types of representing what I purport to represent coming out and expressing the views in the name of my religion, then I would have issue with that. So I can absolutely see why people, you know, the Muslim councils and people like that are turning around and going, actually, we don't want these people to represent they don't represent Islam. They represent a radical form of it. Yeah. And we don't think that these people should be given airtime, because that isn't what Islam is about. So I can see it from both sides. Although I think that we need to hear the words of this odious little man and what he has to say and despise him in equal measure for it. I also do see that most Muslims aren't like that, and that, you know, but the problem is, as I said to you earlier, it's very hard to shout a peaceful message.
That's a very, very good point. It is.
And so it's the radicals of any kind of group, but we're talking kind of Muslims, but it's the radicals of any kind of group that are the ones that instill the fear or the distance or the, you know, whatever kind of thing, in the same way as it is with anything. You know, you have the feminists, for example, and they, you know, let's kind of branch out, because I don't want this to be seen as a purely Islamic
thing. Well, I'll talk about from a Christian perspective in a minute, for example.
Yeah, and so can I. We've kind of been through the Christian thing, but yeah, it can be,
how have we?
No, not at all, but we had a boo a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, where we were talking
I'm not. I'm talking about Christianity compared to other religions, and I think that the reason that for example, I don't necessarily shout about things is because from the Christian perspective, you don't really believe, it isn't part of the belief system that man can do anything about a situation. So if we're living in what you might call such a time as this, then really there is, I wouldn't say a resignation from a Christian perspective, but there is almost a sort of, well, it isn't really the done thing to go around trying to do it in a man's sense and trying to influence. You know, you can campaign for various things like laws to reflect part of the Christian message, you know. But at the end of the day, we're trying to live in a state that is trying to be everything to everybody. But I think the reason that Christians don't kind of go around a lot, because to some extent, you we would say, well, it's up to God, and actually it obviously isn't the right time for us to be standing up in that way, you know, that these things are going to happen and they'll pass and they'll come and go anyway. So, and in the end, sort of God wins. So in a way, Christians either are just resigned to it, or they're just quite pragmatic and not pragmatic, resigned, and just allow themselves to say, well, it's all right, because God wins anyway.
Well, some do, but then you do get the ones that shout, you get the ones that preach, and the ones that, and it's the same
on the street.
It's in the yeah, but it's in the same kind of way. It is the same kind of, and I'm not comparing, I'm not comparing
radical.
Well,
in other countries in the South, maybe in parts of the States, they're quite on the fire preachers and all that, yeah, so.
But even if you're not, you know, if you kind of think about.
In politics, I suppose they're quite powerful, aren't they?
Yeah, and if you go back to, say, Islam, yeah. people very wrongly, absolutely wrongly, because of the radical element of Islam, people are afraid. And thus, there is a risk that all Muslims get judged as murderers, basically, and suicide bombers, and you know what else. Whereas the majority of Muslims aren't like that, and they can turn around and go, we're not like that, and we don't want these people to be given airtime on our tellies, on our radios, on our, you know, people that sit there and go, actually, all these Muslims agree that that of all the atrocities that are happening abroad, and they all think that we should have, you know, a country this way. And no, I don't condone murder, and I can't possibly control what other Muslims do, etc. Because how do you counter that? How do you go, well, actually, no, that's not true at all. Without kind of turning around and go, actually, you do it by turning around and criticising the BBC, because that's the first port of call for doing that. Now, if you take it to another level, if you look at it from a Christian point of view, I grew up in a country, went to a school that was like a faith school, and I've talked about this in more depth elsewhere, so I won't go into it in detail, but where it was basically all fire and brimstone and everything is a sin and you don't... Yeah. That's going to put me off of religion, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody came up to me a few months ago at a place where we were collectively and you know, basically put their hand on my shoulder and said, oh, have you found Jesus? You know, you haven't lived until you have...
Do you know the love of the Lord
and all that? And those are the people that make people think, oh, you know, I'm not going to go there. You know, they're all, you know... People like that, really, you know.
She was just a little bit forceful.
Well, she was, but it puts...
And certainly talking to me about my life and, well, you know, why someone could have helped you. Somebody could have... You should have had help. You know,
oh, she certainly judged, but, you know...
Where's your bin, honey?
Stick
there.
That in there.
Where? Oh, okay. I'll put it. So I'm putting razors in the bin.
Oh, do you know what?
How
you got that?
No, I've got it.
Yeah,
go on. But no, you were.
So
yeah,
it's so very much
it's,
that.
It's, we don't really know exactly what we think, do we? We know that you utterly condemn what happened. We utterly condemn what happened. He should have utterly condemned what happened on the streets of Woolwich. It was depraved. It was awful. Then he might be able to have an argument about what we're doing in Afghanistan and the like. And that actually there isn't a bigger picture. The picture here is that you can't argue the bigger picture when you don't start with the small things, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there is a bigger picture. My personal view is if you look at religion, like Islam, you have to judge people as individuals. You can't turn around and go, all Muslims are suicide bombers, or all I would like to say that everybody. All the Muslims I know are all really lovely people, and I have no reason, and I shouldn't, and it goes without saying, so it's not even going, oh, I know some lovely Muslims, because they're all human beings in their own right and individuals who happen to be Muslims. So, you know, we have to judge people at in their own merits. If what's his name? Amjit, is it? Chowdhury?
Chowdhury.
Turns around and goes, actually,
Chowdhury, I don't have any more respect for him.
I don't condone murder. Then I'll turn around and go, he's a horrible little man, but I certainly don't think that he represents the views of Islam.
No.
You know,
no.
I absolutely don't. I do. I'm more likely to think, however, that somebody that turns around and says, another Muslim that turns around and says that man is an odious little man, and actually the majority of Muslims don't think like that, are more likely to represent the views of Islam than me, who is almost conditioned to live in a fear of...
So you'd like to hear more...
I would like to hear more comments from people. Muslim. I would like to hear the people shout, you know, out, you know, be, yeah. shout the peaceful message.
Yeah.
However that has to happen. You know, for every one of him that there is on the Radio
yeah.
Today programme, yeah, I would like to see a protest outside the studio, you know, of other anti-Chowdhury messengers, if you like. You know, if we can have anti-war in Iraq message, then why can't we have anti-radical message, you know, anti-radical protest?
Because my fear is that the what happens in the end is, one, the loudest voice tends to win, and there are often voices that want more for themselves than anyone else. And then there's a reaction to that. The state gets involved and just pisses all over everybody and makes life difficult for, you know, the state now is arming itself more than it ever did before, you know, and just in case, you know, for public disorder and things that happen and this kind of thing. And we don't really want that either.
No, of course we don't.
We don't want a state that goes and almost becomes this kind of, right, okay, you're all having a fight in your back garden. Please come round and just, like, beat you all up so that no one... It doesn't matter whose fault it was. We give you all a slap and then it'll stop and then we can just go away in our armoured vehicle and that's it. You know, you don't want a state like that. And I think that's a danger. That in the end, the government... there's a danger that there's a reaction to all this radical talk. If what is it they say? That bad things happen because good people don't stand up, you know? Good people don't speak.
Well, bad things happen when good people do nothing.
Well, add that as well, even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, something's got to give, really, you know?
Something's got to give.
You know, and we need to have reactions to everything, you know? And, you know, peaceful. We need to have these people standing up against the... equally against, like, the EDL and, you know, and the BNP and, you know, the likes of them. Really, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I agree. I mean, there are things that, you know, I've talked recently to people about things that traditionally we would have said as Christians that we would disagree on, as in, you know... 722. What is that, really?
722, so we better wrap it
up. Okay. No, just that actually there may well be things that don't exactly line up with the way we do things. But at the end of the day, I'm responsible as a human being, as a person with faith in my sense, context, whatever anyone else's belief is. You've got to live with your belief in the context of a lot of other people. And I know that most places in the world, if I went to any Muslim country, I'm absolutely sure... if I was suddenly found lost on a mountain with Usher, you know, in the middle of a village somewhere,
they wouldn't let you in because you got a dog.
No, they wouldn't let you in. They got a dog.
That was a joke, by the way.
No, but they would say, "Oh, you know, come eat with us, and we'll look after you until we can find some help for you and stuff." It wouldn't.
Well, I've been to Turkey.
The world should live like that.
Well, Turkey is a secular country, but is predominantly Muslim, and they're some of the most hospitable people I've ever known. Even
my guys down the road, these brilliant people.
Yeah.
That we have massive conversations about Eid. We were talking about what's the one with Ramadan. And they observed Ramadan, and it was in the middle of summer. And
I wonder how much weight I could lose if I, you know, observed that.
They were having to go for 18 hours a day without any food, and they were cooking people's food.
That's just
torture. They were awesome. Iranians, I've met lots of Iranians, Iraqis. And even the Iranians say, we're all right, it's our religion. It's a mess.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, very much so. So no, I think we take people as individuals, but I think if you want to not be seen to be a radical or whatever, you have to stand up and be counted.
What was that you said again?
What?
Make what was it? Make more know about peace.
People need to shout. Oh, as in you can't. Shout a peaceful message.
I think you said that we you can't, but maybe we should.
Maybe we need to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.